Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You may be seated. These past days we have heard those great and wondrous and familiar stories. We have heard of angels and shepherds and swaddling clothes in a manger, Joseph and Mary, and yes, even the Word of God, who is God, who created all things, become flesh and dwell among us. We have heard of the glory of God, the open heavens, and yes, the proclamation of good news of great joy for all the people. Perhaps today, in those lessons you just heard, including that very long one, you heard some similar things. The second day of Christmas, and please do not follow the world's example, do not let the world teach you about our holy days. Christmas is 12 days long, and it actually begins on December 25th. This second day of Christmas is the festival of St. Stephen, martyr. The glorious tales of this newborn child, this Savior named Jesus, God who is with us, Emmanuel, takes a dramatic turn on just the second day of Christmas as we hear the full story of this first martyr, Stephen. Apart from those little whispering similarities of the birth of Jesus to this martyrdom text that we heard today, we hear things that are much more in line with Good Friday than with the feast of the Nativity of our Lord. There is, of course, a reason for that. As much as we joyfully bring to remembrance the story of our Savior's birth, we know from God's Word that the story did not stop there. Our remembrance of even great things like the birth of our Lord are never an attempt to go back to former times, but to take the blessings of those former times right now into the present and, of course, look with hopefulness for the future to come. We know of Christ's birth, but also we know that Christ grew up. We know of his life. We know of his death, his resurrection, and his ascension to be at the right hand of the Father. We know of Pentecost, and we know of the sending of the apostles. We know of their lives and of their deaths for the sake of Christ. We know the Holy Spirit used these men of God to write down the very words of life that we have in the Scriptures. We know the unfolding of Christian lives didn't stop with those final writings of the New Testament, that earthly life has gone on for Christians. And throughout it all, Jesus has kept his words to them, all of his words, including those words spoken on Maundy Thursday, that if the world hated Jesus, think what they will do to his followers. And that this is replayed over and over from the Jews treating our Lord as they did, to seeing how they treated Stephen, to seeing how they would treat others after them, to the pagan Roman emperors, to Muslims, to Vikings, to so-called enlightened ones, to revolutionaries, to communists, to fascists, even to current efforts to undo the very things and institutions of our God by those who zealously seek to do evil. That the people of God are hated by the people of the world. That is to say, people who are under the power of the devil, who hates Christ and thus hates every little Christ as well. If you look it up, it probably wasn't reported widely, but just yesterday on Christmas Day, as there happens to be almost every year, it's a favorite day for the persecution of Christians, as 6 Christians in Congo died in a bombing by a follower of Islam, the religion of lies and murder just like its father. Today, the world has put away Christmas. The lights are starting to get turned off, the decorations put away, the radio stations have stopped playing the songs. But we Christians continue on learning about what this birth means in the most dramatic way of hearing of the martyrdom. We remember St. Stephen as our Lutheran teachings direct us to do so. First, with thanks to God for the example of Stephen. Thanks to God for Stephen. That this man, as the scriptures say, who is full of grace, full of power, full of wisdom, full of the Spirit of our God, this first martyr, that this is the first one to die for the sake of the name of Jesus, accounted this honor by God according to his divine mercy. Secondly, we remember this day, we receive new strength in our faith by the example of St. Stephen. That martyrdom is and has always been a high calling that God appoints for some Christians. That Stephen is as faithful an example of martyrdom as you can find. That he gets in trouble with the authorities, not for his own wrongdoing, but he gets in trouble with the authorities for doing good, for doing good works, and for teaching the truth of the gospel. When called to account by the ruling authorities, he makes a bold witness to them, using both law and gospel, as you heard. He does not hold back in front of these powerful men out of fear of men, even as his words enrage the authorities by convicting them of their sin. That they, like the fathers before them, continue to reject God and his ways and his messengers. He seeks, by his long defense, his long speech, by going through the examples of Abraham and Joseph and Moses and slightly into David and Solomon and so forth, he seeks examples to win them over. He's not seeking his own personal gain. He's not seeking his own getting out of trouble or anything like that. He's seeking their repentance. The chief in this is the speaking, the continued speaking of God's word. And if you need proof of that, you only need to look to his final words, spoken loudly as a prayer for the very people who are killing him to be forgiven. That Stephen does not spend time complaining about the legality of the matter or the justice of this or that thing being done to him. He is just giving testimony to what the people of God have done unto God's chosen messengers throughout the years, finally coming to the culmination of this in the crucifying of the righteous one, Christ Jesus, which is only a short while before this trial of Stephen. The fact that many of those same faces who would be found in that dark night of Maundy Thursday trying Jesus, trying to convict Jesus, and then eventually handing him over to be crucified, those same faces would have been in that Sanhedrin that is gnashing their teeth and plugging their ears and speaking louder and shouting down Stephen, only adds to the beauty and to the love of what Stephen is doing. But Stephen confesses the faith, and it costs him his life. But the Lord was with him all along the way, even welcoming him into an open heaven that had been secured by his finished work as the righteous one. The third way we remember saints before us is to imitate their virtue according to our callings. Here we can see that a man ordained ought to preach and teach of Christ no matter the cost. Here you can see, however, that when called before government for being a Christian, that Jesus, even in Stephen, has already kept his word. That when you are called before these people, do not worry about what to say, for the Spirit of our God will give you the very words to say. Stephen, full of the Spirit, gives the defense he gives because of the hope that is in him. He rebukes even the high and the mighty ones. He rebukes even those who are involved in the crucifying of our Lord. Just like John the Baptist did, and just like Jesus did. Again, his focus is, however, on salvation. His focus is on sin and grace, especially for his accusers. That this should help us to build a virtue of fortitude and steadfastness, of compassion for others, even those who hate us. It should tell us that compromising on the word of our God is not an option for us as Christians. That Christ has promised that whoever confesses him before men, he will confess before the Father who is in heaven, as he did before the Father while standing at the right hand of the Father, as Stephen was receiving his martyr's reward. His reward for faithfulness from a city that loves to kill the prophets and stone those who God sent to them. Stephen speaks the law. But note, it isn't until Stephen speaks of Christ at the right hand of God in glory that they rush him. That the law will certainly make people mad, but so will the gospel. That this example encourages us as we look into a world that is once again beginning to reveal those blood-stained teeth that it had hid for centuries, at least especially here in the United States. That this example ought to help us as we weigh out our own allegiances. Why the day after Christmas? Why the day after Christmas does the church take such a sober look at these things? Because in the newborn Christ, we have all that we need to take comfort in the face of those who would rather see us dead than to speak of Christ. Or those who, when sin is mentioned, seek to kill the messenger rather than repent. That Christ, the only begotten of the Father, divine in and of himself, took on all of human life. That his body is fully human. His mind and his will are fully human. He hungered. He thirsted. He cried for sadness. He rejoiced. He got tired. He was tempted. He felt pain. He even died. But what Christ Jesus took upon himself, he redeemed, even sanctified. That he is the sufficient substitute for each and every human being. That the gospel of Christmas is that humanity is redeemed. That you can confess a belief in the resurrection of the body, the resurrection of the dead, because Christ Jesus took on a real body. That you can expect, according to Christ's own word, that you will someday have a glorified body raised from the dead, and you will have the fullness of life in heaven because Christ Jesus took on flesh, because Christ Jesus was born. And that's how this is connected. St. Stephen believed this. He confessed it in his life. Why was he bold in how he used his mouth? Because that mouth was set for resurrection. Why did he submit to death by stoning? Because that body, broken by rocks, would be raised by Christ when he comes in his body on the last day. Why could he simply find peace even at such a horrendous death? Because the announcement of the angels that the birth of Christ was true. There was peace on earth. But Stephen was at peace with God, even as he was being killed on earth. That Christ Jesus made sure of it as the righteous one of God. Stephen knew that death had been transformed, Yes, even by the birth of Christ. For the birth of Christ meant that death's time was limited. Its reign was over. So how could Stephen endure all of this? Well, he saw the same glory. He saw the same opened heaven that the shepherds saw that night when they watched their flocks as the angels appeared to them. That the birth of Jesus meant the Savior had come, and Stephen had a Savior. And he could confront whatever enemy of Christ there was. And that the worst they could do for him was to destroy his body, which would in the end only do good for him by bringing him into heaven. Was his death untimely? He certainly wouldn't think so. Those stones which broke flesh and bone were the very things that God used to bring him home. Was his death unjust? Do you think he even cared? Heaven was in his sight. Jesus was there in his glory, ruling at the right hand of God. What could man do to him? So like his Lord, who in the flesh had committed himself to God at his crucifixion, Stephen commends himself to Jesus, ascended and ruling over all things. And then, just as Christ had done as he was dying on the cross, Stephen prayed for forgiveness of those who were killing him. As Christ loved, Stephen loved. Stephen could love this way because, of course, Christ had loved him. And it says, of course, that Stephen fell asleep. A phrase used in the scriptures to emphasize the resurrection and life everlasting. That as Christ died and was raised and ascended into heaven, the death of a Christian is truly now nothing more than a sleep. The second day of Christmas teaches us about the suffering and about death because you're a Christian. The birth of Jesus has transformed all of these things by changing what it is to be human, what it is to even suffer, what it is to die. Now, you know a little bit of this. You are human. And you know suffering in this life. Many know physical suffering. But of course, you all know as Christians the internal struggle and suffering that goes on inside of you because of sin. Perhaps, God only knows, it is appointed for you someday to suffer as a Christian for being a Christian. But Christ, ruling from heaven above, knows these things and will send them accordingly. And if that be the case, then take the example of Stephen and live as he did, confessing the faith, doing good work while you can. And should it be appointed for you to die for the sake of Christ, then die with a steadfast confession and with true love for those who even kill you. But if Christ wants that to happen, he will supply all that you need in those moments, just as he did for Stephen. Christmas is just getting started. The world has already stopped. But for us Christians, it continues on. Today, it speaks and it teaches of how the world will hate the messengers of Christ. But it also teaches us how the faithful Christians can endure all the hardships from the world, because this world just isn't the place we long to be. In the name of Jesus, amen.